For most of us, getting close to dinosaurs is limited to a David Attenborough documentary or finding a little toy in the cereal packet, collecting cards. But the person you're about to meet actually walks with dinosaurs, and he has done for many years. His name is Dr. Steve Salisbury, and he's a paleontologist with the University of Queensland. And his work takes him across Australia, but he's spent a lot of time of late exploring the coastline around Broome and literally following the footsteps of dinosaurs. Good morning and welcome to the studio, finally, Steve Salisbury.
Good morning, Vanessa. How are you going?
I'm well. Where have you been exploring on this particular trip around Broome?
Well, we're really focusing on the area around the Broome Peninsula, so down at Ganthium Point, Riddell Beach, into Roebuck Bay, because even though I've spent a lot of time up here, it has primarily been in the area around James Price Point, and, you know, for obvious reasons. And it's nice now to be able to sort of slow down a bit and start to take in other areas. And we've seen lots of fantastic stuff right here on Broome's doorstep.
What have you found? What have you seen?
Well, you know, just for instance, you know, I imagine most people in Broome, their main sort of experience with dinosaur tracks would be a few three-toed theropod tracks down at Ganthium Point. They're there, but then there are lots of different types of sauropod tracks. We've seen some enormous sauropod tracks and areas where there are, you know, more of those Megalosauropus three-toed tracks. All the beaches around here, wherever you get rock, there's great dinosaur tracks.
And why are there so many around this peninsula? It's beautiful, but it must have looked very different to the time that the dinosaurs were roaming here.
Yeah, well, you know, all these tracks and the rock they're in are about 130 million years old. So back then this was part of a big river plain, probably a delta system, flowing from the north probably to the south, with dinosaurs walking all over it. So, you know, up sort of north around James Price Point, looks like it was, closer to the mouth of the river, so sandier, lots of sort of sandbars and channels and things, dinosaurs walking over that. Down here looks like it was closer to the coast, so sort of lots of lagoonal mud flats and things that were trodden over by dinosaurs, and lots of them.
How do you tell the difference between a humble old rock pool, a little bit of natural erosion, and a place where a dinosaur, particularly one of those big, round, muscly beasts, actually stood?
Well, you know, it does take a bit of time to get your eye in, because at first, yeah, it all just looks like rock pools and rock platforms and, you know, not much else. But most of the sort of undulations and things that you see on the rock platforms around here are caused by dinosaurs. And, you know, a lot of the time they were messy. I wish they could just walk in a straight line and, you know, single file and make it all nice and easy for us. But they really churned the place up. And every now and then you see good examples where you can see toe impressions and claws and all the details of the foot. And, of course, you know, sometimes those tracks are just emerging. Other times they've almost weathered away or they've gone. You see everything in between. So it's really just a matter of checking everything out. We see plenty of things that at first we think it might be a track and then we go, oh, probably not, but, you know, move on to the next one because there's bound to be another one around the corner. So plenty out there to see and discover for everyone.
And you have to constantly battle the tides and the shifting sands and prints that might have been there last week are now not there. This is an ever-changing dynamic environment you're working in.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, we're on the coast. It's in the intertidal zone. Big seas around here, particularly through summer. So the coastline does change a lot. And, you know, we've seen tracks disappear. We've seen new ones appear. It's happening all the time. So part of what we're looking to do now is teamed up with some people from CSIRO in Brisbane and also Flinders University. And what we're hoping to do is digitise this coastline. So we'll use lots of laser scanners from planes and down handheld stuff and lots of photography. And we hope to be able to, you know, capture the coastline as it is, you know, now, which for us will be a great way to begin to document all these sites and figure out what all the dinosaurs are doing. But it'll provide a really good record for, you know, the entire Dampier Peninsula coastline and, you know, the rock platforms, the sand and the vegetation. So I'm excited about getting that started, and that's what we're doing now.
Dr. Steve Salisbury, what do you think the dinosaurs were doing when they were roaming around here?
Some of them look like they're on a mission. They're definitely heading somewhere. Other ones look like they're lost and they're wandering around in circles. Pretty much anything you'd expect some animals to do when they're not being watched. But, you know, now we've got a record of what they were doing, and it's 130 million years old, so it's pretty special.
In other places in the world, dinosaur footprints, trackways, fossilised remains of them, they are world-renowned. They attract tourists, they attract scientists, they are precious and protected. What do you foresee for the future of the great many tracks, albeit sometimes hidden by shifting sands, but what do you see as the future for the Broome Peninsula trackways?
Well, obviously here, one of the really special things about the tracks is that they're part of the creation mythology associated with Indigenous lore and culture in this area. They're integrated into the songlines and sites along the coast. So, you know, when we've worked up further north, have done that with Galara Baloo, and now down here around Broome, we're working really closely with Yaru. And it's really important with regard to management and access that, you know, in addition to ourselves, that those groups have a big say, because they've looked after these tracks for thousands of years and they're doing fine. You know, there have been some instances in the past with, you know, things going missing.
Being drilled out of rock and stolen. Rock, yeah. Does that concern you that by the very fact of uncovering and knowing and documenting locations and indeed finding, say, some real gems that could be collectible, that you unwittingly open it up to potential burglars drilling it out of rock and putting it on the black market?
Well, I think, you know, around here there are so many tracks, and yeah, sure, there are some really important ones that, you know, scientifically and also culturally, that we don't really want to let everyone know where they are, but there are plenty of tracks that I think it would be fantastic to share them with people. And I know, you know, Yaru are keen to do that and Galara Baloo. It's just a matter of working out how we can do it. And I think once that happens, you know, Broome should embrace what it's got on its doorsteps, because it's really special. And I think if there's that sort of community, you know, appreciation of what you've got, that's more eyes looking out for these tracks. And, you know, some of the ones I saw today, for instance, you know, good luck to anyone who wants to try and remove them. You know, they're huge.
How big are we talking?
Well, we saw some today that were, you know, over 1.7 metres long.
It's about my arm stretch. Sort of bit more.
Bigger than you could sit in them and have a bath if you wanted. These are here, you know, so
how tall would that be?
So an animal that size is probably going to be about 6 meters high at the hips, because we can work out from the length of its foot how long the leg would have been roughly, and based on that, you know, complete skeletons of dinosaurs of that type, you know, easily over 30 metres, if not significantly bigger. So some of the biggest animals to have ever walked the planet walked the Kimberley coast, and they walked around Broome. You could go down the beach now and have a look at them if you wanted to.
Were they meat eaters or were they vegetarians?
One of the things that's really exciting about this area and why we're interested in it so much is the huge diversity of dinosaurs that are represented by the tracks. You know, we're still trying to figure it out, but there's anywhere between, you know, 15 and 25 different types of dinosaurs that we've got tracks for now. So amongst those, there are the big sauropods, the long-neck, long-tailed things like Brachiosaurus and Diplodocus. There's plenty of their tracks. They're definitely the main dinosaurs here. You've got a range of herbivorous two-legged dinosaurs called ornithopods. Things from the size of kangaroos up to animals that are probably about 10 metres long, like Mutabarosaurus from Queensland, that sort of thing. There are a number of different types of carnivorous dinosaurs, so like the ones you see at Ganthium Point, but then there are others of different sizes and different shaped feet. And then the really interesting ones are the quadrupedal herbivorous dinosaurs, so armoured dinosaurs. We've got ankylosaurs and probably stegosaurs represented here. So if you could go back in time and look at the Broome area, you would have seen, you know, all these different types of dinosaurs wandering around. It would have been really special. It's your own Cretaceous Park on your doorstep.
I know where you would take the Doctor Who TARDIS if you had an opportunity.
Well, the thing is, once you can see the rocks and read what they're telling you, the landscape comes alive. You know, you don't have to travel back in time. You just got to imagine it. But you just need to see what's there. And, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to sort of help Broome see what we see, because it's really exciting. It's so special up here, and it's such a beautiful place as well. I mean, not only have you got all these amazing dinosaur tracks, they're integrated into Indigenous culture, but they occur in a beautiful part of the country. I mean, it all comes together up here. I think it's fantastic. I love coming up here and working on this stuff.
Steve Salisbury is with me in the studio. He's a doctor of paleontology from the University of Queensland and has done extensive work across Australia and around the Broome and Dampier Peninsula coastlines looking for dinosaurs. And as you have been hearing, there are a great many remnants of them. Steve, you mentioned earlier that you're now able to take the time to explore the rest of the Broome Peninsula because of the past couple of years you've been working under a great deal of pressure focusing on the trackways of the Dampier Peninsula around James Price Point. What in that particular zone really blew you away as a paleontologist? What were you seeing in the rock around that area?
I think probably the main thing up there is just the diversity of tracks. And a lot of them are really well preserved. Like, it's like the dinosaurs walked there yesterday. And it, there's, you know, there's a lot of rock up there, so there are lots of sites. We've probably documented about 50 individual sites where there are tracks just in the sort of 25 kilometres or so of coast around James Price Point. So it's a spectacular outdoor museum. It's really amazing.
As well as the footprints, are you finding fossilised foliage, little bone fragments? Are you actually finding fossils? Why aren't we finding great big brontosaurus skeletons under the Pindan?
Well, you know, there are plenty of dinosaurs around here, so presumably quite a few of them died as well. But interestingly, so far, no bones. And that may be something to do with the geochemistry of the rock. It might be great for preserving tracks, but not very good for preserving bones. Or it may just be that we haven't found them yet. So we're always keeping our eyes peeled, hoping we might come across something. You do see a lot of plant fossils. So, you know, you see plenty of wood around here and the odd sort of impression of a fern or an Araucarian pine tree or something. So there's a lot of that stuff. And the other thing that you see, and I mean, you're seeing it every time you see the tracks, is you're seeing the Cretaceous landscape. So it's the surface, the land over which the dinosaurs walked 130 million years ago. That's what's been preserved, and their tracks are within it. So, you know, all the undulations and little bumps and things, that's what it was like back then. And it's really been frozen in stone for us to see now as it sort of weathers out with the surf action.
And this digitisation of the coast that you're helping create along with CSIRO, how will that be used and how might someone like us see it?
Well, obviously, you know, what we'll do initially is use it to map the dinosaur tracks because, you know, think about James Price Point, for instance. You've got 2.5 square kilometres of rock over which there are dinosaur tracks scattered. It's almost impossible for us to map that from the ground. So this is going to allow us to be able to do that and start to piece together what they're all doing, you know, which way they were walking, did they bump into each other, did they bypass, did they walk around in circles. We can start to figure all that out. As well, it'll be a good tool in terms of management for where all the sites are. But of course, you know, that sort of information for some areas will be sensitive, so we won't release it all publicly. And of course, you know, every step of the way we'll be working with the traditional custodians with regard to how we do that, because, you know, I can come here and interpret the dinosaur tracks from a scientific point of view, but, you know, I'm not the person to look after them. I mean, people have been doing that for a long time, and I think future management needs to incorporate that. And, you know, that's something that we need to really focus on now, because thankfully we've sort of come out of the whole threat with losing a lot of this stuff. But in doing that, you know, we've had to show the world what's here. And now it's sort of time to share it with people. And I think if we do that, everyone's going to get hopefully a lot more excited about it.
Steve Salisbury, earlier this morning you tweeted a photograph of a stonefish hiding in a what most people might assume is a rock pool, but in fact it's a large sauropod footprint. What is a typical day between time and tide like for you at the moment?
Well, my whole existence in Broome goes with the tides and the moon. I sort of live and breathe with the tide. So at the moment, you know, we've come up here because there's a good spring tide. So low tide in the morning starts off about sort of 5 o'clock in the beginning of the week, and at the moment it's about 6:30. So we're up and out on the reefs at dawn, usually till about 10, and then back in, have a snooze, download some photos, work on things, and then back out again in the afternoon. It's kind of nice that way because you don't have to work through the heat of the day and you don't have to work all day. So, again, I love it. It's a tough office to have to work in, but, you know, we'll keep doing it.